Chapter 4, Part 1. Once again, the pastel town had started to slow, so I went back to the tree a few bridges away. That night was harder as hunger started to set in. Still, there's no sense in sleeping if dreaming meant to be stuck listening to the voice. The stars came out as I sat under the tree, playing with the cigarette known as a Little Betsy. Paper smelled sweet, and the tobacco had a vintage look. It was rolled with no filter, but this was just the beginning. I laughed at the idea that floated into the night air, but nothing substantial came until a turtle wandered across the moment. The reptile paid no attention to my issues and only cared about eating whatever was growing in the grasses. Looking down at the cigarette, I thought about eating it. Then the darkest of ideas came by in a blink of an eye. When was the last time an animal in this town died by pollution? All life came and went in such a natural rhythm that if life were to be stopped by a handmade product, there'd be chaos. Utopia disrupted, but notified. Reaching over, I picked up the little turtle that showed no signs of fear, as humans have lived with nature in harmony for so long. Time went by with just the two of us staring at each other in wonder of what would happen next. If this little life was ended for the greater good, would that be just? How could the death of this little reptile be what is needed, and only on the second day? This resurrection was to save life on Earth, not to add to the pending distraction. Would this be seen as evil, and in another blink of an eye, this body left while my soul returned to the container? Choices became more difficult than I had remembered. Then again, there was never a need to directly kill a small creature. It was much easier to just toss trash away and never think of the consequences again. Is directly killing still a form of human pollution? Is all this would do is remove the actual need of the middle person known as waste? The deep breath followed by a tear, and the little turtle became silent in a warm lap. That night, I slept sitting up, with a nervous spine pressed against the bark of the elder tree. There had been moments like this alive, but not moments like this after killing. Lying down came to sponsor a feeling of righteousness that battled guilt in the same way the seasons changed. At least sitting there was an aspect of work that provided the calming sensation of labor. After all, what is a deed that is lazy? No, this assassination had to feel as if it was earned. Even if being alive in a time where I was not a character, there still had to be ownership of action to perform a simple and selfless act that would have never existed the first time around. Soaking it in that the first time around never required murder's acts. Daft decisions of ignorance lived off a simple impulse. Nutrients encapsulated in packaging that fed the body and mind. Ownership of the end result won over comfort of well-rested night. All there was left to do was to tuck remorse under a bottom lip and figure out how little Betsy's could be the murder weapon. But for now, the thought of burying a cold turtle slipped away from focus while the tired mind gave way to rest. In this night, I would not dream or fantasize about the voice. Instead, there would be silence, absolute calm, for the long, dark 6 hours of sleep, intoxicated out of natural human chemical, not even common sense would feel the sunrise. In fact, the body would lack the care of noon or dinner, sleeping clear through into the next day. Some may argue trauma or the lack of food, but the truth is that time just needed to pass, just enough of the priceless commodity that moves without command. A perfect utopian child would find a lone person under a tree with a dead turtle on his lap and a cigarette hanging from the turtle's lips. Yes, Moments had to be clear. The calendar before gaining up to me and the situation under the tree. Fate's utopian child discovered the situation there and had an entire day to spread the news about what was found just outside of town over a few bridges and perched in a field under a tree. For too many kind words, the entire town had gathered to interview me, sleeping as death rested in a green shell. Before long, detention for those deemed important took breaks from gardening to adventure out into the country. The town had arrived at the hills that have a hidden time traveler. All except one. Hayden was walking softly in the greenhouse that did not exist, working on the next flavor of Little Betsy's that she called Strawberry Kiss. Unannounced to her, out of focus, she was the only one in the greenhouse that day. Time caught up in the moment, perfectly planned to guide serendipity right on through into the next generation. The moment came to unplug the barrel of marbles, with a single sneeze from the youngest that found me. Two sets of eyes open. Startled, I opened one eye and then the other, as lost hands felt for the perceived mistake from the night before. Sadly, the creature still not living rested on the portion just below the beltline. Last night had happened, and the plan still must go on. As my second eye opened, that's when reality hit, and I was no longer a solo show. Everyone that I had desired to avoid now gazed upon the situation, the questioning discontent that surfaced in the means of disapproving facial gestures. Gasping, with hands up, the town folks would have disappeared of the flowers blooming that day if this moment was detected sooner. I sat a little straighter, focusing intensely on who the leader might be. Nothing. The encore seemed to give the tribe an appearance of thought. Slowly setting the small remains down on the right, with deep breaths pairing with each move, I looked around at the audience and out of fear slightly opened a mouth that dropped a look of guilt. The watching crowd looked ghostly, except for a few, tucking small triangular cigarette packages into deeper pockets. Overall, they were shocked in the hands of the perfect. Nothing had happened as such in 1,000 years, let alone a human being found in the woods with a dead animal. Questions arose, but more rampant was the desire for answers. Why? How come? Who? What? Really, and most important, are we too late? Stockpiled a rapid confusion, gifted the willing a thrill. There was nothing anyone could do but perceive a dead turtle on the lap of an out-of-towner. Death meant pre-recollection could thrive as an alternative to fear. After all of this was a town of flowers dictated to time, while good actions and services were traded in the absence of greed. Loss, especially of a non-human mission, was unheard of, let alone by the means of a mortal man. The disbelief hung around until bravery found a young enough soul to transmit the question roaming through the green pastures. "Sir?" echoed the young person who originally found me. "How did this turtle die?" Panic roamed and wrapped the sentence in small circles until the need for an answer wilted from a conclusive silence. It was clear that the time to stop being and start dancing had arrived. I'd been in hard spots before, and this was just another tough situation. Standing, I brushed off the falling leaves from the well-worn outside clothing and spoke. "Little one, come here closer to me." With the walls of adults, they built a fence, and it was clear that the explanation would have to be public. Except this time, material objects were not for sale. Items are not being purchased, but actions descended. A one-liner about quality would not be enough to land commission. To tell the truth would most likely end in defeat as well. Stuck, the moment between scrutiny that assumed and those that could not tell lasted until dry eyes simply stopped blinking. So the moment hung, a heavy weight above a soft moment that had no solid base. What was there to do besides fear the failure of knowing the little Betsies would and had killed the planet, and your first love was to blame? Back together, the two of you sucked while alive, and also when you finally made Earth perfect. Unfortunately, either could care less, with only one knowing the true outcome. Maybe it would be better to just run from the situation, hide and never look back at the insanity that was then and is now. In truth, there are no answers for the brave kid. Nothing to be said about why or for what. Earth's shipping yard was there in the start and would be there for the majority of the populace still on Earth. The only difference being that they would know why they are there. Why the great voices tell them what to do every day for eternity. Why killing the Earth is bad and leaving what you love is worse. A small hair scrunchie hits me in a soft butterfly fashion. The original youngsters prize at the question. At least tell us who you are, pauses, and then adds, weirdo. Not only has population started, but also has started bullying. Out of appearance, human conditions have been reborn. Only this time, blame is simple in that there is only one person alive from 2020. In this moment, silence walked amongst the crowd in the manner of a grim reaper or unpleasant rumor. The people had not been fooled in some time, but foolishness still lived in the streets as an unspoken shaming strategy. Even with utopia in place, the human mind cannot reduce the amount of judgment it felt to require in the day. This day particularly, as one of their animals was obviously slaughtered by a stranger. Maybe the turtle was already in peril, and the person under the tree was simply the first to come across the tragedy. Still staring down, the townsfolk there were only one moment that would free me from this particular dilemma, and careful effort to not disturb the reptile's body in any further, a great wave of release shot over the heads of the confused. With that little bit of positive power, there was enough residue left on the morning dew to make the case of innocent, if not savior, of the creatures. Knowing very well that the last title might be a little much, there is hope to turn this witch hunt into a successful resurrection of character. A decongestant breath found words traveling over the thick fog in a bit of an easy course. Dear people of this great town, do not be worried. Having traveled from a tremendous many of miles, there is news from neighboring towns and tribes. First, they extend their condolences for not reaching out about the pandemic sooner. They had little confusion themselves and did not want to cause sadness on your day. That said, surrounding colonies are reaching out in effort to save the cities. There apparently seems to be an underground group of pleasurable rebels that seek to bring back the very goods that killed the planet back in the 2020s. Shock ran vile over the innocent, while long-forgotten emotions returned with a slight revenge. Fear now disguised the dead, cold-blooded animal as self-preservation, synced in thought that meant hard breathing. It's okay, I continued. We can and will stop the spread of this unwelcome newcomer. All we need to know is who is producing little Betsies and why. Reaching down and picking up the little shelled reptile, I opened its mouth and pulled out a numbered portion of the cigarette. Stepping back with guilt, the majority of the audience became less forward, while the rest looked out of ignorance. They, for the most part, have never seen a cigarette, let alone witness one arrive out of the mouth of a creature such as this. Questions started to float out of the road miles that better describe themselves to the actions of confusion. Split, either side would not raise a hand or question to the image that was now their enemy instead of the traveler. What is that? Called a little obvious kid. This little one, not much bigger than a few sticks, is a little Betsy, or better known in some generations as a cigarette. They used to plague by the billions until one day they didn't, and you wonderful people started planting wildflowers on your roofs instead. Stopping, realizing the slip, I smiled and started again. Kneeling down in front of the little protester, I hailed out the stogie, level to the youthful eye. This is an object parents use to smoke. In hell on fire during occasions of stress or leisure. In short ways, this object was a relic of relaxation. Other ways, this led to addiction and sickness. In the worst application, this small collection of paper and leaf brought mass pollution. In a cracked, nervous voice, the little being mumbled, "Pollution? Are you sure it was the object and not us?" I always make sure to put my toys away. Leaning back on how far the world has come, it was prevalent that utopia would win over this silly invention, but by the age of this radical, there was time for setbacks, at least for those gathered around. For in my time was a gift already given last year, and that gift had an expiration. Smiling while standing there, a great movement of prey and predator changed throughout the event. The only whispers to give feedback for the performance said there was only now to act. "Listen, good recycling folks. This is only the beginning if we do not make it the end. Go forward and find out what you can about these little Betsies. Where are they made? Who's making them? And most importantly, how could we stop cigarettes from killing another turtle? After all, who's to say this kid is not next? All it takes is for one adult to toss their trash or toy in the wrong place for the next generation to find its harmful truth. Meet me here again at the next rising sun with any information you may have. Together, this will be brought to a clean conclusion. There will also bury this beautiful turtle in memory and symbolism to never have to grieve over a polluted death again." With that, people of all ages shot into action. No one there wanted blame or relation to what might be just down the road, so everyone left in a hurry. Some even ran out of fear of being found out, racing without notice to warn Hayden that her production of goods had to be stopped and that they no longer would work for Little Betsy's movement. Regardless as to why the scenery cleared, it did, and I was left there, secretly wanting to smoke the last of the cigarette still stuck between the two ready fingers. Just before the idea and how the symbol of cleansing could be destroyed, a tiny voice pops back into the reality of the moment. "What do you plan on doing with the little cigarette, mister?" Stuck in a tough spot once again by a slight figure, I just looked down at the small protester and strained. It was no use, as if there was a use to look at the eyes of a begging dog. "This little stick of tobacco, this is going to save the world." Continuing, "You see, every great purpose needs a symbol to absorb the cause. In this case, stopping little Betsy's from polluting the world. As long as we have this cigarette, we will have everything we need to successfully win in the next few days." Staring at the small pollution in hand, the little creature grew bored and simply replied, "My aunt makes those on 3rd Street, with her book club on Thursdays." Shrugging small shoulders naturally, the person skipped off to join the others in what felt more like a migration than movement. Left alone with a dead turtle, a piece of future cigarette, and the answers to the problem of this impossible journey that had a practical outcome for the first time in this time and the last. Find 3rd Street and this book club and simply bring the town to stop Hayden and her bookworms. A turn there would be easy. Wait for the time here on Earth to expire, then be free rest of eternity. Until then, stay low on the details about anything that might give away the truth, or even give anyone question about the truth. Night started to fall when it hit me that I had been standing for hours at this point, still under the tree with the company of the dead reptile, both wondering about what had really happened. On the ground, ants began to gather from the corpse of pollution, finding freedom towards a small hole in the ground surrounded by a tiny pyramid of dirt. With respect to the nature of those second creatures, I picked up the innocent life only to lay its body in tall grass around a stone circle and covered it in flowers. A morning for food is never in question. But in this particular situation, as the planet was in need, there might have to be an exception made. Tomorrow would bring Hayden and all that follows, so not too much time was given in regret, as there would be no greater remorse than losing the planet to a trend that involves the reintroduction of war over products. Tired in the warmth that hugged around the giant tree, there was not enough power to resist sleep. Unsuccessful, dreams came flowing in just as they've never left, demanding actions like standing up or sitting down while in complete seclusion. The practice was unfair, but a true reminder of why this all needed to happen now and not later. A clear billboard that posed in the center of the road in an effort to provide strict guidelines that little Betsy's had to be stopped. As a new consciousness rose with the morning start, so would this purpose, for tomorrow was the last day on Earth to shut down Earth's shipping yard. Get up! Our entire town is waiting for you in the city park. I opened tired eyes to see the youngster standing by the tip of worn-out shoes. It seems that my clothing and skin is aging faster than all the others. The flesh was now wrinkling to match the multiple holes forming in the surrounding cloth. Time was obviously out of time for the traveler. Interesting enough, being out of time was a comfortable feeling. Death had already been a reward, and being back on Earth was just as busy as ever. A reset had a peaceful conclusion associated with it. Looking up, the boy was still staring down, along with a new sun and a curious leaves on the tree. All of nature was watching and waiting on me to stand and accomplish saving them from themselves. Once vertical, we said goodbye to the tree and looked down nervously at the turtle. The small one, Silence, handed the larger one a silk bag enchanted with a rose oil. There is to be a funeral at the park after the town meeting, so that's where all this blends. Well, sir, maybe for the hard shell, but it just might be the beginning. Both nodding their heads and turning to the path that leads to the city. What would you like to talk about? Said the short stature. Tell me what life is all about for young people in this moment. What is utopia in the eyes of an 11-year-old? After pause, there was a giggle. I would not know, sir. The shipping yard sent me to deliver you. End of chapter 4, part 1.